Weed and Start the Podcast.
This is Weed and Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's Gorbachev-fearing career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. This episode, we'll be discussing Billy's 10th studio album, The Bridge.
The Bridge. This is an album that he has spoken less than fondly of many, many times.
Yes.
He has admitted that this was a bit of a slump. His daughter, Alexa, had just been born.
His daughter.
My daughter, actually, is what he would say, right?
Hello, Peter.
Well, that's what he would say if he was in Germany, right?
Right, exactly.
Mein daughter.
Mein daughter.
And he was distracted, he says, and he, you know, didn't really want to write and buddy, buddy, blah. And
it was 3 years since his last album.
Exactly.
So
I
think he was in just like this love bubble.
Yeah. Because there was the thing with the Christie Brinkley, right? He's actually married to Christie at this point.
He's married to Christie.
So in the boat video, the way that he describes this album is hilarious.
And the album was called The Bridge. I knew that this album was going to be a transitional album between An Innocent Man and Stormfront. So that's the purpose it served. It just bridged that gap.
Don't ask any more questions.
It was just a real gap filler, this record, you know?
Exactly.
It's just, it was a thing in between two other things.
Right.
And that was its real virtue, you know?
Right.
It's...
I like that he's just like, this is what it is. It's just, you know, a space holder between two better albums.
That reminds me of like when, like cities that really have nothing going on for them, they like to describe themselves as like the place in between two other places.
Right.
Like Indianapolis is like, you know, the gateway to the...
Right. It's a gateway city.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. St. Louis, gateway to the West, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like crappy beginning to something.
Good times. Well, this record came out July 28th, 1986. Meg, what else there happened in 1986?
Journalist, and I'm putting ironic air quotes around that, Geraldo Rivera opened Al Capone's secret vault live on television. Mm. I remember this. I saw it. All Rivera found was a bottle of moonshine and the ghost of his career.
He's still around, though.
I know.
Kicking
He's
around.
Like a zombie.
While Billy was crafting his mid-career slump, Steve Guttenberg came out with his magnum opus, a little film called Short Circuit.
Input. More input.
Isn't that the film that Fisher Stevens played Indian American, and it was just...
Not offensive at all.
Not offensive at all. Software developer Eric Thomas debuted Listserv, the first email management system. The Listserv system was later used for evil in giving a forum for every crackpot selling their collection of mint-conditioned strawberry shortcake dolls.
The Space Shuttle Challenger disintegrated mere moments after liftoff, and I could make a joke about how Billy's The Bridge album did the same thing, but that'd be tacky, that'd be offensive, not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
Wouldn't
You're
be
a class
prudent.
Act. Mm-hmm. You are a class act.
Yeah.
Some
people are saying it, but I'm not saying
right,
it.
Exactly. It's not me. I'm just repeating it.
Mm.
1986, the year Billy kidnapped Ray Charles, strapped him to a piano bench, and made Ray be his new best friend forever and ever and ever.
So before we get to The Bridge, we got to talk about the interregnum.
Yes.
In between. The space in between The Innocent Man and then the space filler between The Innocent Man and The Stormfront.
And The Stormfront, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
So 3 years go by. What was Billy doing? He wasn't just sitting on his duff. He was being this like massive star.
Mm-hmm.
And out comes Billy's Greatest Hits Volumes 2 and 3.
I think it's 1 and 2.
Oh, shall we check? Is there any way to know? There's really no way to
There's
know.
There's no way to know. There's no way to know. I don't think the Encyclopedia Britannica has gotten that far yet.
And this is the biggest selling Billy Joel album of all time.
It did have two original songs on it, but we skipped it because it is a greatest hits.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Are we going to talk about two songs?
We're going to talk about two songs?
We're gonna we can talk about it right now. But the thing is, I mean, sales figures... Okay.
Yep.
This album went double diamond.
Wow.
Double diamond.
Data don't lie. Yep.
Data don't lie. Okay. 11.5 million copies, 23 million units, because there's two CDs in the things.
Right.
I don't know if that's how their way of juking the stats, like calling it volumes one and two made it two records.
Yep.
Technically?
Could be.
Okay. But still, like, this is a very, very, this is by far his biggest selling record of all time.
Mm-hmm. If you can, like, the wheat from the chaff, he's got a good career. It's the chaff that gets you.
It's the chaff that gets you every time.
Every time.
Every time. Okay, let's, so there's the two new songs on the Greatest Hits record definitely tell us where he's going to go with the bridge,
yeah.
right?
Because mm-hmm.
he's completed his little nostalgia tour, and now he's just kind of like, you know, I got to get with the times.
Right.
Right? And the times are...
Who can I steal from in the 80s?
The times are the times of synthesizers
mm-hmm.
and... what else?
Power suits.
Power suits. Power ballads.
Power ballads. Yep, yep. I'm young enough to still see the passionate boy that I used to be. But I'm old enough to say I got a good look at the other side. Existential angst. Existential angst. We gotta work real hard, maybe even for the rest of our lives. Reaganomics. Right now I just wanna
take what I can get. I think the lyrics in this verse are stolen. Well, like everything, but never saw you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
Oh, the lady in red.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's straight where he's getting it from.
Good ear.
Thank
Good
you.
Ear. That's a quality song.
Yeah. So there's that song, and then there's the suicide song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he was really trying, he had a message.
He did.
He had a message.
He had a message. He was caring about America's teens.
Okay.
They were depressed.
The youth.
The youths.
The youths.
And he plays this in
the
video.
Really,
he plays...
80s were a really hard time to grow up.
They were.
Really, really hard.
Real hard. Real tough.
Real tough.
Okay. Real tough. You had a lot of money.
Yeah.
You had...
Malls everywhere.
All the malls.
Yes.
And in the video, he plays this sort of like It's a Wonderful Life Clarence character.
Mm.
And
a bum, again, video director being like, what can this guy play? Right. I'm going to say a bum.
Right.
You know?
And seeing how, you know, complex an issue suicide is, Billy just is sort of like, buck up. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It reminds me, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
That SNL sketch with Kenan Thompson playing David Ortiz, and he does an ad for depression and or the cure for depression was, do you suffer from depression?
Do you suffer from depression? Don't.
What's that an ad for?
For not to be sad. Why you be sad? Don't.
Big Poppy say, don't be sad.
let's listen to this stupid song.
I actually like this song. It's like
a little shuffle going on.
Heyo. You know what they should have done? Is done like this tap dance explosion for this song.
Mm.
It's such a tap dance song. Windmill, windmill. Tappity tap.
Neighborhood. Another really quality rhyme. Oh. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's just what it is,
it's
you know? Why you gotta be sad?
Why
you be sad?
Why you be sad?
Why you be sad? Jost?
Big Poppy wants you to be happy.
Okay, my favorite thing is the chorus. Because I actually think, I musically, whatever, I mean, like, it's cheesy as shit. I mean, it's very 80s-y. But, like, the music is fine, whatever. The pre-chorus is nice, and then the chorus is just terrible. That's just a really awkward melody. Why that chord? It just goes nowhere.
Da-da-da flat.
I know.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You can't lick girls much way too late. Sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one.
Okay, let me talk for a second about the most 80s thing about this album. There's a lot of 80s things.
The cover art?
The cover art.
The cover art. We've turned the page people to the bridge, by the way,
right,
just to make
sorry,
that explicit.
Hey.
Bridge cover art.
Oh.
It looks like something that would have been hanging on Gordon Gekko's wall.
It does. It looks like a ninth grader with a compass made this in geometry class. Like, I don't know why the 80s were so big into sharp shapes, angles, and like...
Yeah, a lady's suit jacket might have been shaped like
exactly.
that, right?
It's a power cube.
Did you know? I just noticed this the other day because I just thought this was like an abstract something or other, but mm-hmm. you actually see that it is. It's like a Tim Burton-y bridge. And
oh.
look, there's little Joel walking across it.
Oh, hey, baby Joel.
Yeah,
hey.
Little teeny Joel just being like, I'm just going to walk right past this record. It's just the way station in between the last one and the next one. I'm just going to walk right on past this one.
I'm happy in my personal life. I don't want to question it. We're just going to keep walking.
So the first tune on this here record is called Running on Ice.
Yes.
And wow, is this just a totally Naked Police ripoff.
Right? It's so very, but the thing about it is like, so this one starts like the prelude to Angry Young Man,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got the police, and then he gets like this little happy chorus.
Huh? It's even the, like Dougie Steggs' bass is the exact same like fretless bass that that Sting was using on the late Police records.
Yeah, it is. It's
and you got the Liberty is totally ripping off Stuart Copeland. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But then if you listen to the chorus, suddenly it's Billy again. Sometimes I feel as though I'm running on ice. Hey, you guys, I'm having a great time. Life
hey!
Is going.
I'm feeling that I'm running on ice. Where did my life go wrong? Oh, it went so wrong.
It went so
you're
wrong.
You're just making gabillions of dollars, and you're married to a supermodel.
Right.
And you have a lovely child, and you've got a lot to be sad about.
So sad, yeah. So sad. So he has to steal Sting's sad, and just sort of like transplant it onto his happiness.
And Sting had a lot of reason to be sad around this same time too. He was also extraordinarily wealthy, the most desirable man in the world.
Exactly.
And it was rough times.
Rough times.
Rough times.
The '80s, man.
Oof. Yeah.
Real hard.
Real hard times.
I mean, it really feels like two different songs.
Mm.
It feels like three different songs. It feels like Angry Young Man, and then a police song, and then Boppy Billy, and then we go back
to Boppy Billy,
then we go back to the police, and then we go back to Boppy Billy.
His grandfather used to call him that.
Boppy Billy.
Boppy Billy.
Boppy Billy.
You coming over for dinner?
Oh, little Boppy, I love you.
I'm going to give you a Bialy.
Oh. Your grandma's going to make some pasta. It's fresh sauce.
He's Jewish, not Italian.
You don't know his grandfather.
Oh, mega leg.
Yes.
The next song we're going to talk about, it's the rocker. It's the big one. Little song called A Matter of Trust.
Yes, I love this
okay.
song.
Okay, there was this like 20-minute like featurette kind of thing about this album made at the time called Building the Bridge. And I love, love, love how Billy describes this song here. Some love is just a lie of the
heart. The core remains of what we got. Matter of Trust is, it's a rock and roll song. It's a pretty tough song. It's a guitar.
Pretty tough song.
So tough.
So tough.
So tough.
It's not something you would inherently write on the piano. Because the action of the rhythm goes, and you can't play on a piano, it comes out like chopsticks. So that song was actually conceived on the guitar. I can't play guitar badly, but I can play it as well as a lot of heavy metal guitar players.
By the way, guys.
By the way, guys. I mean, you know.
But, he did really say that really defensively.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't play the guitar,
you know. Johnny. God. What do you got to say?
You just Billy? Embarrassed yourself, Johnny. I can play the guitar. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Liberty's on it.
He had a whole two chords on this song. He knows two chords. Bum, bum.
Johnny.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Wow. I can play guitar.
Can't play guitar.
So I found the most hilarious story about this song on the internet.
Yeah,
and it's about the filming of the video, the vidya.
The vidya.
Could you describe the video?
The Vidya is 80s perfection. It's his homage, I think, to much cooler people like Bruce Springsteen, who probably would have a rehearsal space in downtown New York that they just open the windows to, and all everybody's there.
And he's playing his guitar.
And I think he's wearing a red plaid shirt that with the
sleeves rolled up. Exactly. Oh. Okay. So in 2013, there's an article published in the Huffington Post by a gentleman by the name of Binky Phillips. Look at his appellation on the article.
Music aficionado.
Binky Phillips, music aficionado. Huffington Post is about nothing if not credentialed writers.
Right, exactly. Okay. I own shoes. Meg Donahue, shoe owner.
So Binky writes this piece recalling the day that this video was shot.
It's
a really long article because apparently it was a really long shoot, went on for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then they all got wrapped up and the crew was doing a breakdown. I'll quote from Binky's article here. Quote, I strolled outside, crossed the street, and walked over to one of the younger, slightly less pissed off guys on the crew and asked them, what the fuck is happening? Weren't you guys done? The guy sighed and replied, just as Billy was getting into his limo to leave, one of the guys on the crew said, you know, Billy, I think it's really cool that you used that old Fender Telecaster as an homage to Bruce Springsteen. Billy lost his shit on the spot and instantly decided the entire video had to be reshot with him using a different guitar. Can you fucking believe this shit?
Oh, you're a diva, Billy. You're a diva.
And then Binky picks up. This is his last graph here. He says, if you ever see the video again, you will notice that Billy is playing a golden Gibson Les Paul, exactly like the one that Dickie Betts used for decades. I strongly suspect that no one mentioned that to Mr. Joel that day.
Your face.
And he looked, I mean, the Les Paul is, it's a man's guitar, okay? It is a large guitar. It's a heavy guitar. And man, he just looks so teeny tiny behind it.
He looks so petite. Again, it looks like, I'm going to go hell for this, but him playing guitar is like watching a one-legged man dance.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to go to hell for saying that it looks like, he looks in this video like a Make-A-Wish kid.
I want to be a rock star, Daddy.
You can be for a day,
you
Jimmy.
You can be. We're going to get the whole city with you.
Well, I'm living here now in town.
It's hard to keep a good man down. But I won't be dead enough today.
Time to take a moment to acknowledge our first sponsor for today, the law offices of Esposito and Bianchi in West Islip, Long Island. If you have a Long Island injury, you need Long Island lawyers. Esposito and Bianchi.
You know, say you got a Long Island injury, like you got a spray tan, but you got it in your eye. And say you went to one of those, you know, cut-rate suntan places. Mm. And you don't know what's going on with you, and they got to take out your eye. You're going to call Esposito and Bianchi.
Sure, yeah.
They're going to get you the money.
A Connecticut lawyer is not going to handle that.
I mean, imagine if you're at the gym and you're lifting and you're feeling good about you and you drop the weights on your feet.
Oh, bro.
Who's going to get that money for you? Esposito and Bianchi.
Mm.
Say you are making a bowl of pasta. And the boiling
How many of these
water,
do you have?
The boiling water splashes on you. Who are you going to sue? The water authority. Who's going to do it? Esposito and Bianchi.
You know? Some upstate lawyer is going to do that?
No. They don't understand Long
Somebody
Island.
Somebody from Syracuse?
They don't understand Long Island injuries.
They don't understand Long
they
Island.
Understand
they don't.
It. They don't.
They don't.
They don't. You need to go with Esposito and Bianchi, born and raised here, First Communion, whole thing.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, good kids.
They were so, so
fat.
It's giving you a second to come up with something else, you know.
No, we gotta go with fat.
Gotta go with that. Gotta stick with the theme.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
You're married to it.
You gotta stay with the guy that brought you to the party.
And the guys who brought us to this particular party, Esposito and Bianchi, thank you for your support.
Good guys.
Are they real?
No. Oh. I just made that up. Are they fat?
Are they really fat, though? Are they really fat, though? I know you said they're fake, but are they really fat?
They're so fat. They're like husky.
Yeah, the adjective used by Binky Phillips to describe Joel in this piece is stocky.
Oh, Billy.
And that was the thing. My parents used to, when I was little and fat, maybe this is the 80s way of saying it. They would say, "You're not fat, you're stocky."
There's nothing wrong with being stocky.
Bop and Billy. It's okay.
It's okay, little Bop and Billy.
Have some more.
You're going to grow into it.
Have another Bialy.
Do you want some disgusting Italian desserts? We got those too.
Got a call from an old friend. We used to be real close. Said he couldn't go on the American way.
There is a song on this record that I actually think is pretty good. And it's his duet with
Ray Charles. That's actually, it is a good song.
I did some research. Oh. I know that's not what we do on this program.
Nope, we shoot from the hip, like Billy himself.
It's honest.
It is real.
Okay. It's working class is what it is.
Right?
All
right.
Research is effeminate and uptown.
Right? I mean, it's a college kid thing. I'm going to do some research? Jesus.
Anywho, so here's a clip from our old friend Hugh Downs at 2020 revisited Joel a few years later.
Wow.
For the Stormfront record, and they got this quote out of him talking about how he always wanted to sing like Ray Charles.
I didn't want to sound like a white kid from Levittown. I wanted to sound like a black man from Georgia.
He's gonna stand by me.
He has been criticized,
and you know, so we live in Georgia.
Right.
We should tell the listeners. And we also live in this little town called Macon, which was home to a gentleman by the name of Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ray is from Albany Albany, Georgia, they say sometimes.
Yep.
But Otis is from Macon, and I also found this other clip of Billy Joel talking about Otis. And I think that this clip like totally makes Joel's entire vocal style make sense. Like, I had a total epiphany listening to this. This is Joel on Sirius XM more recently.
Oh, she may be weary. Young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shabby dress. Oh, while she's wailing, cry a little tenderness. And then it went into a different time signature. You won't regret it.
Nailed it.
Oh,
young girl ain't gonna forget it. And this really gruff, raspy voice. And he got down and dirty when he dug in the lyrics. Love she will never, never possess. Hey! And he had these riffs, these vocal riffs. Got to. Just great stuff. Fun to play.
See what I'm saying?
Fun to listen to. And a dynamic performer. I don't know if a lot of younger people even know who Otis Redding is at this point, but he is.
But Billy does.
Billy
Johnny,
does.
Billy does.
I remember Otis, Johnny. Don't you say otherwise. I never forget.
You don't even know Otis Redding.
You don't even know.
Yeah, that does make, when he does try to get down and dirty, he is doing a terrible approximation.
Terrible approximation
of Otis.
But really trying to like really that overly animated Joel vocal style,
right.
That, you know, heart attack, you know, that kind of crap.
What he lacks in like skill, he makes up for in energy.
Mm, yeah. Totally going for Otis. It all makes sense to me now.
Yeah. Mm.
Anywho, so back to the other black man that Billy appropriated. this Baby Grand song with Ray Charles. And apparently, like, actually this came, like, Ray wanted to work with Billy.
Right, because Billy's had named his daughter Alexa Ray after Ray Charles.
Right, exactly. And it wasn't at all about money for Ray. You know, you might think that because at this time, Ray Charles was doing Diet Pepsi commercials. Okay, so you might think that maybe he needed some money.
Right.
But this had nothing to do with that. Okay,
no.
This was totally, he was just like, I want to work with that white boy.
You know, I see a kindred spirit in Billy Joel.
Sure do.
Real do. I mean, I'm a black man from Georgia, and there's a guy from Hicksville who's trying to rip off, you know, my sound, and I want to work with that guy. I do. He's good.
Good.
So I do like how they recorded this. Mm-hmm. So there's two pianos. They're both actually playing piano. And Phil Ramone has panned one hard left and the other one hard right. And so you can actually hear Billy and Ray sort of answering each other back and forth with these little filigrees.
Right.
Which is a nice touch.
It is a nice touch. Billy described this song as a love song to his piano. Because Billy has to write love songs about everything.
Well, because really, you know, a piano is an object, just like a woman.
Right.
It's really his ideal woman. It's a woman that just sits there and lets you touch it and doesn't really do anything in response.
Right, exactly. You could just sort of like dump all of your emotions onto it and mm-hmm. then it's fine. It'll take it.
It stays in the corner.
It stays in the corner.
All day long.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's got a nice shape to it.
That's right. Nice little curve.
Nice little curve. I've wandered
everywhere. Ray's performance on this is great, I think. His vocal on this is wonderful.
Yeah. She would always be there any day, any hour. All it takes. He really classes up the joint.
Yeah. In my hands. It's weird. It's like. It's weird to hear, like, I've been thinking, oh, you know, Joel sings really well on this song, and then you hear the real thing, and you're like, yeah, that's the difference the real thing makes. You know?
It's sort of like having a Picasso and then, like a four-year-old's drawing of a Picasso, and you're like, that four-year-old's drawing, it's pretty good. Wait, no, it's not.
Yeah. But it doesn't stay.
I've made fortunes.
Yeah, Ray.
Hey, I'm feeling into gear. Hey.
Ray, let me laugh at the joke that I wrote for you to sing.
We're best friends, Ray, aren't we?
We're best friends. I know, it's so great. So no, this record kind of actually sounds good when you just listen to those few songs. But man, there's some turkeys on this record.
There are.
Like
Modern Woman.
Yeah.
It's not a great song, but for the first time we have. Billy writing as a character, and for the first time he admits. Did he do it earlier?
Oh, you mean writing from the perspective of a character,
yes,
as opposed to writing about a character?
Right. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I suppose I can't come up with another example. You're right. Yeah.
So this character that he came up with is, he's a Brooklyn guy. And he sees this lady, she's got purple hair, and he just thinks she's a knockout.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how to talk to her, because nobody knows how to talk to a modern woman.
Mm.
And this song was, in fact, inspired by Bette Midler in Ruthless People, because she was, like, working out and stuff.
Well, I think it was a song he did for the movie score.
It was, right. Yeah. But he was watching a scene with Bette Midler. I guess she was working out, and he's like, wow, these modern women. And then he wrote a song about it.
What's up with men and this whole, like, I don't know how to, like, talk to a woman? And it's just kind of like, how about you don't?
Or
how about you
leave her the hell alone? You're 45 years old. How do you not know how to talk to a woman?
I think he's like 36 at this stage.
He looks, that's a hard 36. That is a hard 36. And in the interview, he starts saying, you know, how do I hit on her? And it was very objectifying.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw it in the documentary that you shared with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, she doesn't need money. She doesn't need anything from me. And I'm just a Brooklyn schlub. And I'm like, yeah, dude, back it up.
Yeah.
Go back to Brooklyn.
It's also like, just musically, it's a dumb song. It's two chords. It's a bum, ba dum, da da, da da. Like, man, you really had no ideas at this stage, did you?
You know, he had to get back to Montauk. Christy was waiting. Like, shit, I got 45 minutes to knock this out. Get that synthesizer.
Synth bass. Synth bass.
Sax.
Everybody in the 80s loves synth bass. You see her sitting with a coffee and a paper with her high top sneakers of Italian design. The long cool stare, she aggravates attention. Makes up a face while she makes up her mind.
That line, she makes up her face while she makes up her mind. She's the total package.
She's got a face and a mind. Whoa.
Whoa. Will wonders ever cease? Don't try to put on an act. You can't do that to modern woman. Don't do it. And you're an old-fashioned man. She understands the things you're doing. like Melanie Griffith in Working Girl.
Hookers, very desirable in the 80s.
I don't, was she a hooker or not? I thought she was just a secretary.
Oh, sorry.
Way to conflate, bro.
You want to make a move, but you feel so inferior. Cause under that exterior is someone who's free. She's got style. She's got her own money. So
yeah, it really does seem like he wrote this on the toilet. I mean, he didn't really give it a whole lot of thought. It's, again, you know, it's... He's just dumping out all of his neuroses into musical score.
He's just dumping things out on the toilet. Gonna cut that out.
She's now she's looking for a downtown man. That's what I am. I'm a up. And when she knows what she wants from her tie, I am.
Our second sponsor today is the Long Island Stromboli Council.
This is a great organization. They're really working to advance Stromboli awareness really across the whole tri-state area. And what here's their message. It's really very simple. You know those times when you're sitting and you think to yourself, you know, I want pizza, but I really just want it to take a lot longer to cook.
How many times have I had that same problem?
I know. I just want to sit at the counter and wait for it to bake for like 40 fucking minutes.
Oh, I love that.
Love that. Okay. How many times have you said that? A bunch of times. And how many times have you said that, like, when it comes out, I just want to burn the shit out of my mouth on it? You know?
So many foods are cold. I want one that's going to hurt when I eat it.
Exactly. Injury, serious mouth injury is
absolutely
really what you're after. And then you just really just want to sit there and like sit and after you've waited for it to bake for 40 minutes, you just want to sit there and have to wait for it to steam out for another 20 minutes, you know?
Yep.
Before you can get to the point at which you're not going to injure yourself any further.
Right.
Right? Because you really just want that initial injury.
A little bit of a kick.
A little
is
bit
good.
Of a kick, exactly.
Yeah.
You want that little initial kick.
Yeah.
Right? And then you just want to hang out and you want to just stay there while your friends who just ordered pizza are just like, dude, we can't wait anymore. All right? The movie is starting in freaking 5 minutes.
You
okay?
had to get the Stromboli.
Yeah. You had to get the goddamn Stromboli. All right? We got to go down to the Village Green and see what kind of film would they see?
Raging Bull, probably.
Raging Bull. We got to go see Raging Bull.
De Niro, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
First communion, remember.
So fat.
So fat. Right? So you wanna just be sitting there waiting for another 15 minutes before the thing will cool off for you to actually eat it. That's what you're looking for in a meal.
And the good thing about that is I hate previews. I love missing the previews.
Right. Exactly.
It's the best.
I know. And you can get there just as De Niro is walking in, and you can probably order a big old Coke that you're just going to have to sit and drink because your mouth is totally burned to shit, you know?
It really is.
So you just really, you take that one slurp and you just hold it in there.
Yep. Yep. But then it somehow raises the temperature of the Coke in your mouth. So it's like a lukewarm Coke from the burn.
That's right, exactly. This is what you want in an Italian meal.
Thank God the council is raising awareness on this.
I know. They're doing God's work.
They really are.
And we thank them for their support of the program.
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Working too hard can give you a heart attack. You ought to know by now. Who needs a house, a pack and sack? Is that all you get for your money?
Okay, so another terrible song on this record is called Big Man on Mulberry Street. It's another big old two-chord jam. A lot of two-chord jams on this record. But anyway, so this story that he tells about the origin of the song on the Building the Bridge documentary is hilarious. Listen to this.
And I just kind of invented this character who thought he was Mr. Cool. And the character is really kind of a nebbish. But in his own mind, he's the king of Mulberry Street. And when he walks by, the old lady sitting on the stoop, they kind of wave to him, hey, how you doing? And I had fun writing that song. It was just one of those things I invented.
Yeah, God, where did he get the idea of a schlubby guy who thinks he's a big star walking down the street in New York? I just don't know where he got that from. Wow.
He's kind of nebbishy, you know, he's not really that great, but he thinks he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, Billy, just the ideas are really coming for him,
you
know.
I don't even know where I got that idea from.
I know. Oof.
I think maybe the character marries a supermodel later. I don't know where that, I just pulled that out of my...
Keister.
My keister. Out of my hiney.
one, chord, and the other one that I know. We'll end with the final song on the album, which I actually think is a decent song,
mm-hmm.
called Getting Closer,
yep.
which is about a very specific thing.
It's about he's finally broken his contract with Artie Rip.
Yes.
No longer Family Productions.
No longer a quarter going to Artie and his silly car, right. his Daddy Warbucks car. Right?
Get out of here, Artie.
I don't know how here. Artie is going to, like, you know, I don't know how he's going to keep that Widow's Peak in Brill Cream. But yeah, so Billy had signed a 10-album deal with Family Productions, and yep. this is his 10th album, mm-hmm. right? And so this is a song about his liberation, and let us listen.
I went searching for the truth, but to my innocence I found all the con men and their acrobats who stomped me in the ground. If I count up their percentages, I know they're getting rich. They haven't taken everything. Those paybacks are a bitch. Though I've lost quite a lot, I am still in control. They can keep what they've got, but they can't have my soul.
Your soul. Okay, no. Your ideals are not being threatened, Joel.
Right,
okay.
Right.
They took some of your... No, you agreed. You signed a fucking contract to give him some of your money in exchange for the investment that he made in you when you were living in the laundromat.
Right, exactly.
Billy, okay? This is not...
It's not... You know, it's kind of your fault to go into this without a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, Bonacci. Bonacci could have saved your ass there. Could have saved...
I think you mean Bianchi, Bianchi from the ad? God, you're going to lose our sponsor, Meg. Jesus.
I'm so sorry.
So it's so funny to me listening to this song because it's about how it's like instead of making, you know, $80 million, he made $60 million,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's... Because you look at like the contemporary marketplace for musicians today, and no one makes money on records at all anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
It does sound like,
and this sounds like such a quaint fucking problem,
really,
you know, in retrospect. And it's like, and it's so fun. I mean, when I was in high school and, you know, trying to play in bands and stuff like that, and playing music, and I was chiefly this is in the 90s, right? When
right.
again, also a lot of people making a lot of money on records in the 90s, and. My chief concern was not, am I going to make money or am I going to make it big? My chief concern was, am I going to sell out? Am I going to be a huge sellout? Like when the devil at the big record company comes knocking, am I going to shake his hand?
And you know he will.
Yeah, you
you're
know he will.
You're just so good that he's definitely, you're on his radar.
And this is why, like, while I'm sad that musicians today can't make any money, like, I think it's better this way.
I think it is, too. I think the amount of money Billy Joel has made and everybody who came up in the 80s, I think that's just ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Also ridiculous is this final kind of clincher line in this song. Let me fast forward to it. The things,
Jesus. Is this supposed to be?
It's about money, Joel. You signed over some of your money. No one is threatening your belief system here. What the fuck are you talking about?
I still believe I should make 100% of my profits.
Oh,
you can never take that away from me. It's my belief. Yeah, and I this is a good song, but at the same time. If this is his ode to his freedom and this is the best he can muster, there's a lot to be desired there.
Steve Winwood is playing the organ, though.
Yeah, that's true. He got Steve, so that's good.
Mm. But it's good. Real good.
It's real good. It's real good. But
remembers his first communion.
You know, all I can think of is like Prince, when Prince was going through the same thing with Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of artists who have dealt with this, so this isn't a new problem necessarily. But... this is the anger that you can raise?
Mm.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, it was really just a bridge.
It really was,
you
know, just a
just
bridge.
A thing
you
in between two other things.
Right?
You know?
You didn't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Chrissy's waiting for dinner.
Like all the locals here, I've had to sell my home. Too proud to leave, I work my fingers to the bone so I could own by Downeaster Alexa.
This This is that time of the show, and we like to visit
Christy's Corner.
Christy's Corner.
Christy's Corner. It's all about living healthy, looking good, being happy the Christy way.
Yeah, well, for yourself.
For yourself, not for
your
anybody
man,
else.
You know,
no.
Okay, he loves you just the way you are.
He really does.
Especially because he wrote that about his last wife.
Was, yeah. If he loved her, she's definitely going to love you.
She's going to love you, and you know he's also going to love? His third wife, Christy Lee, who at this stage in the game is this many years old.
She's one whole hand.
She's five.
Wow.
She's five.
Aww.
Wow. So what's going on over in Christy's
Big
corner?
Girl. Well, Christy would like for you to look as young as you can. So it's time to get rid of that clumpy skin, you old hag. How are you going to do it? Here's Christy.
Where?
On the Meredith Vieira Show.
Make your hair really shiny.
It does not make it sticky.
Nope, it doesn't.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Got a couple of seconds till she starts talking about exfoliation.
Coconut oil, sugar, and green tea.
Well,
which is this mixture.
Right. So the point is you shouldn't be eating sugar anymore because we know it's one of the major causes of inflammation. So what to do with all that sugar? Mix it with your coconut oil and use it as a scrub.
Okay,
and you can rub it all over your body.
You believe in exfoliation because you say that's how men have beautiful skin.
Exfoliation is key. Yeah. I read an article once.
Men have beautiful skin?
Men have beautiful skin.
Shave daily, so they have a daily exfoliation, and they always
look. The lower jaws look great. The rest of them doesn't.
Exfoliating, and it's something that I've done every day for like the past 40 years.
Yeah, right.
I love this advice because she's basically saying like anything that you've got that you used to use internally that you don't like anymore that's not good for you, just use it externally.
Right, just rub it on your face.
Yeah, so just, you know, all those French fries in the freezer, just, you know, throw them into the tub and you just get in there with the French fries.
Oh, and you're going to be so relaxed. You're going to look so healthy and good. This has been Christy's Corner.
Christy's Corner.
Christy's Corner.
Time to update our Joel Power Rankings.
Power Rankings.
Power Rankings.
So, thanks to our rejiggering, The Stranger is rightfully at number one now.
Yay.
Followed by The Innocent Man. Or is it An Innocent Man? Or is it Innocent Man?
I think it's just Innocent Man.
Innocent Man?
I think it's just Innocent
Man. Innocent Man?
Or is it The Innocent Man?
The Innocent Man.
What's the article in front of Innocent
Man? But Innocent Man?
What is there a comma? An Innocent Man?
As Innocent Man. On Innocent Man.
Innocent Man with an exclamation point.
Glass Houses at 3, Nylon Curtain at 4, 52nd Street at 5, Turnstiles at 6, and then a bunch of Silly Records and Street Life Serenade all the way at 12 behind Hour of the Wolf, which we're going to have to talk about that. I don't think with intellectual honesty we can put that record there, okay? I think you're going to have to let go of your spite on that one.
I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. In fact, you know, I'm going to make, I think this should go at number 10.
Bridge?
I think it's not as good as Cold Spring Harbor.
You want to put The Bridge behind Cold Spring Harbor and above The Hassles.
And above The Hassles.
Cold.
Real cold.
Real cold.
Real cold.
Real cold. All right, I can get behind that.
Awesome.
All right, Bridge is number 10.
Nice.
Rough.
Yeah, you know what? We have to do what we have to do.
Well, what do we have next, Meg?
Oh, friend, we have one of my favorite albums, Stormfront.
Stormfront.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Stormfront.
Stormfront. Now, this is when Billy gets into his love of boats,
boating. Yeah.
Boaters.
Boatsmen.
The boatsmen. Mm. Coxswains.
Yeah,
that's
this is
true.
Really where we see the trajectory headed toward the end point, which is the interview where he's in front of all of his model boats.
Exactly.
With his goatee.
With his goatee and
his like, I totally don't have this goatee because I have a double chin. No.
Right.
No, I just like goatees. I just like
bald.
Goatees. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's just authentic like that.
Yeah, so this is really the beginning.
Yes, we've got We Didn't Start the Fire on this.
I've heard of that song.
Downeaster Alexa, which is an amazing song.
I'm going to punch you in the face if you try to defend that song.
Oh, my God. You better get your punching hands ready because I'm going to defend the shit out of that song. And then
Brenda,
Eddie,
I don't want to hear you down on Easter Alexa shit, Brenda.
Eddie, I will flip this fucking table. And then we have Shameless, which is best known as Garth Brooks redid that.
Mm.
And it was a
And
big,
by redid, you mean did.
Did. He did.
Didn't really change it or anything. I'm just going to sing this. And because I'm heard on a totally different set of radio stations, it's going to work. And it did.
And it did.
It did.
It did.
Made a lot of money.
With the album.
Meg, does Billy have any words of wisdom?
Billy's got some words of wisdom. This is from Modern Woman.
Modern Woman.
Modern Woman. Don't try to put on an act.
Don't try.
You can't do that to a modern woman.
You can't do that. What are you thinking you're doing?
You're an old-fashioned man. She understands the things you're doing. She's a modern woman. Okay, you guys. She's wearing a power suit. She's got to get her job on Wall Street. She's going to punch you on her way to work. She's going to knee him the balls before he leaves. She's down in birth control pills like nobody's business.
Yep.
She's a modern woman.
And the angles of that suit really provided good inspiration for the painting on this record.
They really did.
Well, we're in the home stretch here. This is three of the last three.
Yeah.
We're counting down. 3, 2, 1.
Yep.
Right? All right. Well, listeners, we'll check you on if we order these episodes from newest to oldest. Oldest to newest.
Right.
Then we'll see you on episode 2 of We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusa. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Do you, like me, think that Cold Spring Harbor is the best Joel album and you're mad that it got ranked number 10 because Adam just put his foot down about it? Tell us about it. On the Twitter, use the hashtag Joel Hole.
Joel Hole. Meg there is at Donahue Meg. Let her know how wrong she is about Cold Stone Creamery or whatever it is.
I think if we work real hard, you guys, we can at least get it up to number 5.
I can be found on Twitter at A Ragusa. This program that we're doing here is not generating any revenue for anyone. It's just something we're doing in our spare time, and it certainly does not reflect the opinions or points of view of our employers or associated entities.
Associated entities, a.k.a. our families. These are my associated entities. And yeah, some of our sponsors are real businesses, but they're not actually our sponsors.
They wouldn't give us a dime.
They wouldn't give us a dime, man, even though those were quality fake ads we put out together.
And we sent salespeople to their doors.
They said no.
Gino was just like, you get off my property.
Who are you?
Who are you? I want to know. Who sent you?
Who sent you? Was it Tony? Was it Tony that sent you? You tell that son of a bitch to come see my face.
Brenda, where's my pillowcase full of nickels?
Coming, Eddie. Jingle, 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 jingle. La 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 boom.